Blog Talk Radio.
I'm here with Laura Loomer on the fourth annual Laura Loomer Valentine Show. Laura, that's quite a milestone we just have reached there. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, I can't believe how long it's been. You know, we've been doing this for years now, but it's good to keep up with the tradition.
It is. It's something. It's really cool. So the fourth annual show. Plus, you know, we knew each other a little before that, and this is a great, it's been kind of cool. I went back and listened to our previous shows, and they really, you know, mark some milestones in what you've done in your life, and it's kind of a neat thing because it's shown how much is actually happening in each year. You're thinking, oh,
right.
It's just one little year. No, it's a lot. It's big. And now talking about from, we'll go back right to our third show. Just jump right in this show because it's only 30 minutes. Time goes quick. And going back to last year, at this time on Valentine's Day, thank you for coming on for Valentine's Day for the fourth year in a row. I mean, one, two, three, four. That's huge. That's history right there. We're making history. But think about it. So last year on Valentine's Day, you were talking about, you know, just your fundraising, how you were going into your primary, which you won. I'm talking about how fast all that went, Laura. And boom, here we are right now. It's like a blink of an eye,
yeah,
isn't it?
The year went by fast. And right at the end of Valentine's Day last year, that's like the very beginning of when COVID started to trickle into the U.S. And then by March, everything was shut down. So it was right before COVID. So I had been talking about all these plans I had for various campaign events, but we weren't able to really do many in-person campaign events like every other candidate because of COVID. But it was a very exciting year. You know, I won my primary. I became the Republican nominee for Congress in District 21, and we made history. And ultimately, you know, there was a lot of voter fraud throughout the entire country this last election cycle, and I had out-fundraised and also beat Lois Frankel in in-person and early voting on Election Day, but unfortunately, she ended up getting more, you know, mail-in ballots than I did, which is, you know, questionable, just as it is in the case of President Trump and the mail-in ballots that denied him of his, you know, second term as president, but, you know, can't give up the fight. We're still in this fight, and there's a lot to do.
You know, there is. And let's just stop for a second and talk about those ballots for a second. And I don't want to take too much time on the voter election fraud issue thing, but let me see if you agree with me. I think there's two things that we really need to worry about. And I've been a poll watcher. I've done two statewide recounts. I know a lot about all this, okay? There's a few ways that this fraud can happen. So they're stuffing the ballot with either two things. You've got an electronic machine where people vote at a computer, or people fill out a ballot, right, where you fill in a little bubble, some sort of paper ballot, and it goes in a machine, which is an optical scanner. So two ways that optical scanner has to be stuffed. They have to run more ballots through there physically. Now, on that computer, the computer has to be, you know, the algorithm changed or something like that, or manually in the back end, they just add votes. Do you agree with that? And that's how the fraud is happening, if it's happening.
Well, a lot of people have said that it's a manipulation with the various machines. And then, of course, the printing and the delivering of ballots, these ballots just keep popping up. But even just saying that could potentially cause you to lose your show, right? So people can't even have a conversation about this anymore because all the telecommunication networks and all of the social media companies have basically said you're not allowed to have a conversation about this. So, you know, that's the world we're living in now.
And, you know, and it could put you in a position as a candidate, a future candidate, you know, person that you are. She said this, she said that. Oh, my God. Wow. So, anyway, let's fast forward into what's happening now. Okay, one of the biggest things that's happening now that you're talking about is your book. Are you on a book tour, or what are you up to? What's the book about?
Well,
Lumored.
I just finished writing my book. It's called Lumored, How I Became the Most Banned Woman in the World, and it's on pre-order right now. You can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Walmart, and it's coming out in October. So I'm encouraging people to pre-order my book, and it's a book about censorship and the cancel culture movement, and I'm very excited about it.
All right, no, wait. When you said where it's available, I was like, boom, boom, boom. What was that again, though? Okay.
It's available for pre-order on. It's available for pre-order on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Walmart, and also Books A Million.
Mm-hmm. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Walmart. You're like, okay, which of these, you know what I'm saying? Oh, my God. And what
well,
was
that's
the fourth
the thing,
one?
Right? That's what's ironic about
right.
it is these are the places where they're pre-ordering the book. But we'll see. Who knows? Maybe they'll cancel me, too. You never know. But for now, that's where they're available. But when the book is actually out, it will be available, you know, for sale in other bookstores and also on my website. And
right.
I know a lot of people right now are not.
Well, that's
not
pretty good that you've got it for pre-sale on three places. So that's pretty big. That's pretty big. Something to be said about that. That's not easy to get that done. Well, that's cool. All right, so the book. Then what? What else are we up to?
I have some lawsuits that are currently, you know, in the works
right
now.
So you've
and,
got one going
on,
to like
yeah.
the Supreme Court.
On the 19th of February, so in a few days or so, it's going to be petitioned in front of the Supreme Court. So the Supreme Court's going to decide whether they're going to hear my antitrust case with Freedom Watch against Google, Facebook, Twitter, and Apple. So stay tuned for that one.
Well, you know, it's all right. Remember 2 years ago on 19th of February where you were? Isn't that interesting that the dates line up like that? That was the protest.
Where was I on February? Oh, outside of Twitter, right?
Exactly. Wasn't that the 19th we got
there?
You know
what? I didn't even realize that. I didn't even realize that was the exact date.
There you go.
So you, wow. That's so funny. You're right.
That
was outside of Twitter on February 19th, wasn't it? It was February 19th.
It was the 20th. The 19th, I think we got there. I think the 20th was
we got
the,
there a day
was
early.
The protest.
The 19th was the day they shut down my Chase account. That was right.
Yeah, that's what it was, yeah. So that's quite the timing. So look at there again. So in 2 years, that was 2 years. That's what's neat about this show. It marks a year, but then we can start looking at the years. And because as you pile on these years, it's pretty cool. And I don't know, are we getting anywhere as we move along this timeline? Where are we getting? You know what I mean? What are we doing?
Well, unfortunately, you know, the Republicans have been dragging their feet and they haven't done anything to address tech censorship. And if you recall, in 2018, I had stormed, you know, Congress before it was cool to do so. And, right? And I had actually confronted Jack Dorsey during the congressional hearing on tech censorship. And I said, you know, I made a personal plea to President Trump. I said, they're going to shadow ban, they're censoring conservatives, and they're going to, you know, work with the Democrats to steal the election. Please do something before it's too late. But no one did anything about it. And, you know, just like I said when I filed to run for Congress, and as is outlined in my book, big tech censorship is the biggest issue facing humanity, not just the United States of America, but also, you know, everybody on a global scale. And it really is going to impact election integrity, and a lot of world leaders now realize this, because Donald Trump was arguably the most popular person on Twitter. And now that he's been shut down, all these other world leaders realize, oh my God, if big tech can silence the most powerful man in the world, what's stopping them from doing it to me? And you see in places like Uganda, where the head of Uganda was like, all right, well, if you're going to interfere in our elections, we're going to ban Facebook and Twitter. So, you know, the United States needs to take a more drastic approach in addressing these companies, because the wealth and the power that they have shows that they are more powerful than the elected representatives in this country. And they have enough money to essentially be their own countries. They have more money than some sovereign nations around the world, many sovereign nations around the world. And it's getting out of control, because it's not going to matter how many elections we have if we have no election integrity, and if big tech is able to just silence everybody who they disagree with.
I don't see it changing and getting better in the short term either. Just like you saw from the presidential to the next Georgia primary thing, where there was plenty of time. They had plenty of time to fix that, stop that machine, whatever, right? And they didn't do it. They're not going to stop that. Do you see them stopping that? Unless they are stopped, will not stop. And like you said, the Republican Party is feckless, and they're not doing anything because they're complicit with it.
Right.
So in the short term, I mean, and then in the medium term and the long term, we're kind of screwed, because – it's not going to stop. So let's go into 2 years, right? The next primary that's coming up, 2 years out from a presidential. So what's changing state to state? Nothing here, because the Republicans here in Wisconsin, where I am, they're not fighting anything. They haven't fought anything about any of this corruption about the election or anything that went on in Wisconsin. They did nothing. They didn't stop the governor here.
Mm-hmm.
The governor just put illegal mandates down, not stopped by the GOP party. Now the GOP party is done.
Nothing is really being done. You're right about that. Luckily, I live here in Florida, and we have Governor DeSantis, who has been really taking the charge. And, you know, as a result, he is the most popular governor in America.
True.
And Governor DeSantis, of course, has allowed for Florida to remain open. And, you know, he's, out of all the governors in the country, I'd say that Governor DeSantis and Governor Kirsten Noem out of South Dakota are doing the best job. Combating, you know, a lot of this tyranny and calling this out for what it is. And you know, I may not have won my election, and you know, it's debatable, right? You could say I didn't win in the technical sense because of the mail-in ballots, but you know, I made history being the first deplatformed candidate in U.S. history. And just last week, Governor DeSantis announced that they're proposing a law in Florida that would basically fine the social media companies each $100,000 every single day if a candidate is banned during an election cycle.
Awesome.
So there was no other deplatformed candidate besides me. Trump wasn't a candidate, right? He was president. And so, you know, whether they want to say my name or not, it's clear that my candidacy inspired this proposal for new
Can we
new
get that name, Loomer's Law? I mean, does that sound a little crazy? Too much to expect?
Well, that'd be nice, right? I would like that. That would be nice.
That would be nice. That would just trigger so many people. Just for that effect, it would be beautiful.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting, though. I really do believe that in 2022, the big tech censorship is going to be, you know, every single Republican's campaign issue. But, of course, I was ahead of the curve. And, you know, when I filed to run for Congress, people said, oh, you can't file to run and to combat big tech, and you'll never have a successful campaign being banned on social media. But the fate that I've been, you know, experiencing for these last several years is what many more Republicans are going to be experiencing, because you know, what's stopping them? If they're going to shut down the president of the United States while he's still president, they're going to shut down anybody.
Yeah, you're right. You know, it's kind of sickening watching that, because when we watch that now, it's too little too late. It's so woe is me now that I'm banned. And now these people, like you're saying, they're getting on that bandwagon and making a topic for their candidacy and so on. It's like so late. They're too late to the game, you know, that they can't do anything about it at this point. What can we do about it? I mean, what can we really do to stop this censorship? Is there anything we can do?
Well, I think that the approach that Uganda took by literally banning Facebook and Twitter from the country during the election cycle, I think that that's kind of, you know, that's the approach that American lawmakers need to start taking, because, you know, how are people supposed to have trust in the electoral process? How are they supposed to think that their votes count when the social media companies can just interfere and silence people and control the narrative, right? So it's a huge problem. It's a huge problem. And, you know, they are now more powerful than the president of the United States. And so what is the point of even having a government? What's the point of even having representatives if these companies can just simply override them through censorship?
It has to be drastic. It's not drastic in my sense. Some people would say that's drastic, but no, I agree, because unless they're stopped, they won't stop.
No. Well, they're not going to stop. It's only going to get worse. But we've been telling people this for years, you know, you and I both, and you've been an advocate for this as well, and people just, they never thought that it would get this bad. They always just thought it would never happen to them. You know, they never thought it would happen to them.
No, no. And it's really, we really have our hands full. So back to what you were saying about how do we stop them? What did you say again? Remind me again. Bring me back to
what
that.
Did I say about what?
How we're going to stop this censorship. Oh, you said what Uganda's going to do.
I think
banning Facebook and banning.
In these countries,
yeah,
where they're banning them and,
yeah,
threatening to remove them,
right,
from their countries.
Right.
I think that that's the,
right,
approach.
Right. So, as say you're in, you're elected next go around, and you're in there, and you're going to put in legislation, and you're going to say, it's going to ban Facebook and Twitter from the whole United States.
That's not going to happen, right? That's not going to happen through legislation. What I'm saying is that you see the president, and it's not going to happen if Joe Biden remains in the White House, right? These are orders that are being taken and measures that are being taken by the presidents of certain nations, right? So they have a different process than we have in the United States, but. But it's effective, and so that's what I think needs to be done, because it's really shameful that you have countries where, you know, they have reputations of being third world nations with supposed dictators, and yet these supposed alleged dictators are speaking out more about big tech censorship than Joe Biden. I mean, here we are in the United States of America, where we have a First Amendment, we're supposedly the freest country in the world, but nations that, you know, have violations for human rights violations, that is, and no record of promoting free speech, are criticizing the United States and these companies for the censorship. And it's embarrassing. We've lost the moral authority here. You know, we can no longer be world police and criticize other nations for human rights violations or censorship when our own elected officials and candidates and people are being silenced.
No, that's for sure. So we're going to go in and, yeah. What we need to do then is can we do this through executive order, is what we're saying. So we need to get the next president.
Right, but my point is Joe Biden's never going to do anything like that because it benefits him. He's benefited greatly from censorship. I mean, look at what they did you know, in October to the New York Post, these companies, they banned all the stories about Hunter Biden.
Well,
and his scandals.
This is a great, you're right. So great timeline. So 2020, Biden's elected. 2024, who is even going to run against Biden 24? We have no clue, right? No
clue.
And there's
clue.
Nobody. If any of these Republicans they're talking about, you know, three of them out there, no. These aren't even, they're not going to win. I don't even know. But who are they going to run against Biden? Because I think Biden is going to stay in there 4 years. I don't think that Kamala is going to take over. I don't. That's a whole different topic. But so then 2024, who's even going to run? Then you move into 2028 and 2032. This is going to come quick. How is it that you could actually run for president in 2028? What's that timeline with your age?
Well, I don't know if I would ever run for president, but you have to be 35 to run for president, and I'm only 27.
I'm just saying if. Right. So,
Perhaps someday.
Right. I mean, so where are we? We're in 2021, 2028, because your birthday's coming up soon, right? We can say everybody needs to know your birthday's coming up soon. You'll be 28 in May. Not a big secret there. I think you talked about that on your Telegram. Everybody should also follow Laura on her Telegram channel. And believe it or not, there's still people that don't know. I never heard of Telegram. Just go into the app store and looks like a little paper airplane, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So really, I mean, it's a serious topic, Laura Loomer running for president. It's not just a joke. Because really, who, you already said, yeah, who, I don't know, who. There's nobody out there. There's nobody. And you need someone who's like a Trump-like person, who has an emotional connection with people, and who is Trumpian and America first, and believes in the First Amendment, Second Amendment, third, fourth, down the line. Something to think about.
Yeah,
I
think Ron DeSantis may run. Who knows? I mean, he. There aren't a lot of strong Republicans right now. I hate to say it, you know, in terms of people
who could
fill Trump's shoes.
There's not.
And DeSantis has shown great leadership throughout this entire process this last year. So I can't really think of many other people, to be honest. I really can't.
Okay, now you lose him as a governor. Now who do you put in as a governor? So, you know, when you move these chess pieces.
Maybe Matt Gaetz.
This is
maybe
some
Matt
of the strategy.
Perhaps Matt Gaetz may transition out of Congress and run for governor if DeSantis runs for president someday.
No.
I think Matt Gaetz would,
so now
great,
who runs
I think Matt
Gaetz
would be a great
seat.
Governor.
And then who fills his seat?
I don't know, but I always think
is that
Matt
a seat
Gaetz
that
a
I mean is
governor.
That in your district?
No, it's not my district.
Oh, could you move into that district and run for it?
I don't know. We'll see. I don't want to start any rumors. You know, I don't know who's listening. It's going to start a media firestorm. You're going to get me in trouble, Bill.
The hard-hitting questions. Oh, Lord, too funny. It's funny. Anyway, where are we on our timeline here? How long is this show? No clue. Anyway, what's going on with you? How are you doing through the pandemic? Let's talk about you just for a second. Let's just talk about you, the personal side of Laura. We like to do that kind of towards the end of the show because you're us, you're the real people. This kind of sucks, right? But also, there's a lot to, I like to look at the positive spin on everything because to me, look at how exposed these people are now to the average person who would have never imagined we could have preached for 20 years like I've been doing about all this stuff and they'll just say, you're a conspiracy theorist. Well, now they're seeing it right in front of their very eyes. So there is a positive spin to what we're seeing. Pendulum will swing back.
I hope so. I hope people are finally starting to see for themselves that this isn't a conspiracy theory.
It's not. When you look at the pendulum swing, and that's why I look, I think the timing is good for you. When you go back into the 2028 and 2032 time frame of history, right? Because this is kind of a long game you have to play. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you look back, and who's going to be the last man standing, or girl, so may it be. So we have 4 minutes left. 4 minutes and 53 seconds. What should we talk about?
Well, I'm just so happy that I have you as one of my supporters and as the founder and the leader of the Loomer Fan Club, because you do so much to help promote me and raise awareness, and I'm just really grateful that you remember every year all the dates, and you're always so eager and excited to promote everything. And so I just want to express my love for you this Valentine's Day and everything that you do for me, Bill.
Well, that's awesome. Thank you so much. No, I appreciate that. And it seems like it's just the right thing to do. I was in the right place at the right time.
Well, you're everybody always asks me. It's really funny because people are convinced that I run the Loomer Fan Club. And they're like, oh, this is Laura posting about herself. It's like, no, really, honestly, it's run by a guy named Bill who lives in Wisconsin. But nobody believes it. It's so funny to me. I get messages all the time, and they're like, oh, I saw your post on Instagram. I'm like, what post? It's not my post, So I don't run the Loomer Fan Club, you guys. It's Bill runs it.
Yeah, they can look in there. There's some posts in there, and we've been live streaming, pushing the envelope.
We're
live streaming.
You see the comments. You see the comments.
Yeah, no, it's
like,
cool.
Oh, Laura posting about herself. It's like, no, I'm not, actually.
No, it's pretty cool. I mean, it's really neat. I love it, and it's great. I mean, I don't even know what to say about it. It just seemed like the natural thing to do at the right time, So it's kind of cool. I love being part of history with you.
It's
a big deal. No, we really are. We're making history. It's a big deal. And when you look back at the shows, I mean, this is kind of crazy, running these shows every year. It's half an hour, goes quick, but it kind of just like marks these little milestones. And when you look at the big thing is, look at how much is happening each year. This is what people don't realize. You got to kind of wake up people. People have to, this is what we've been trying to preach to people. And I hope they're seeing it now. And I hope President Trump has exposed this evil that's out there, that people are waking up. And I think it's happening. And they're finally, it's going to shift. There is a great awakening. I don't like to use that term, but there's a shift. People are seeing the truth now and how corrupt everything is. It's all a charade.
No, it's all corrupt. It's all corrupt.
It really
it's
is.
All
it's all about the money.
The political circus. I mean, look at the impeachment trial. It's a political circus. Everything is just for theatrics.
Oh, my God. That's a perfect example. Perfect example. Isn't it exactly what I'm saying? That impeachment trial is a perfect example of the charade.
And it's a waste. People should be pissed off about it, too, because it's such a waste of taxpayer money.
People are holding their tempers back right now, I think, is what's going on. People are pissed. I mean, it's a little bit evident through just the amount of people that came to D.C. Because just in general, peaceful protests like that is an example of how mad people are, like back with the Tea Party, right? So just the amount of people. And that was like, the third or fourth group of millions of people that went to D.C. So you can see right there people are pissed. But they're holding it back into a peaceful fashion. And at some point, something's got to blow, so I don't know.
Well, and then they're trying to designate Trump supporters and people who attended the rally in D.C. as domestic terrorists. And, they say they want unity, but it didn't really look like it. I mean, when you call half the country domestic terrorists for simply expressing concern about election integrity, not exactly unifying.
No, and that's a serious topic too, Laura. This labeling of, you know, basically you and me as domestic terrorists, that's really, that's another thing they're not going to stop unless they're stopped.
Right. Well,
we're going to end the show on that serious topic. No, we're going to end the show right on that serious point. It's been a great show.
No, it's been great. And I'm sure the year is going to fly by again until the next, you know, Laura Loomer Valentine fan club special in another year from now. So we'll see. Let's make some predictions. What's gonna happen in the next year, next time we redo the show?
I love predictions. I love predictions. Okay, you go first.
No, I'm asking you. This is a question for you.
Oh.
You can't put it my question to me.
See. All right. No, I mean, in the next year.
Yeah.
Well, in the next year, I'll tell you what, this is a broad prediction, but what I'm going to say is a lot of things are going to blow back on the Biden administration like no one would have ever thought. And I'll say 2 to 3 things are going to blow back, boomerang back and hit them like no one would have ever thought. 2 of their actions that they're doing, like the Keystone Pipeline shutdown or something like that. You know what I mean? Or these, how
right.
many executive orders? There's going to be a few of these that are going to blow back huge in the next year that are going to actually disrupt their whole forward motion, so to say, and
right.
kind of stymie their administration. Yeah. Pretty good prediction, don't you think?
Yeah. We'll see what happens.
Which is good for us because it's based on the fact that everything they do blows up in their face. And we know that. It's just a matter of time. So I think that's going to be good on our side. And within the 2-year time frame of the next midterms, so these things blowing up in their face is going to really slow down what they want to do with all their Marxist, you know, protocols they're trying to put in place. So I think that's going to help us at the midterm point. And then hopefully we can kind of take back some seats right there and then find somebody to run. So that's it. I look forward to more in the long term to 2028 and 2032. So,
yeah.
Laura Loomer for president.
Yeah. Well, we'll see
happy
what happens.
Happy Valentine's Day, Laura. All right. Happy Valentine's
Day. You too.
Day.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Love you. Bye.
Love you too. Bye.
Good night.
Good night.